Here's a little something you may remember from the good old days.
I feel so old.
You're old.
You're so old.
I'm so old.
So old.
We're so old.
You're old.
You're old.
Adventures in Jacksonville here as the Jaguars return to the heat and humidity of North Florida. Time for Senior Moments. Brian Sexton, John Osier, and Joe. Just Joe. How are you, Joe? Yep, not good. I'm just nodding too.
It was hot out there today, Brian.
You know, I have to tell you, the heat zapped me today. I guess I got used to the 73 degrees and overcast in New England.
It was 65 one day. It's easy to get used to that.
Oh, man. Yeah. Completely different experience than today. And I thought the team looked a little sluggish early on, getting going.
Yeah, and Doug mentioned that in the press conference afterward. He said I had to push him a little bit today. He wasn't happy about it because he's never, you know, going to smile a lot in press conferences, but he didn't seem too surprised. I think he understood what was going to happen. You've been in the New England, you know, cool for a week. You're coming off a preseason game. You got to get back to it. So I think today was about pushing him and about getting ready for Tampa Bay, which the dual practice is on Monday and Tuesday. Yeah. It's coming up.
You know what today was about? Blake Bortles.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I turned to you at one point and had counted five, and then I counted one more, six, where he hit a receiver in stride. And folks, if you don't pay attention to that, one of Blake's issues, at least as far as I'm concerned, is ball placement, accuracy. Mm-hmm. And he just consistently puts the ball at a place on most receivers where they have to slow down or stop or turn.
Or dive or jump.
Yeah,
or
right.
Makes it more difficult than it should be.
Which is, by the way, one of the reasons why, you know, a hand gets stuck back, the ball bounces high into the air, and then there's an interception. So I'm always kind of nitpicky about that. Today, he looked really good. He was hitting Marquise in stride, yep, which is saying something. He had been Koyak and A-Rob in stride also. I counted six. There may have been more.
Well, you don't want to jump to conclusions off one practice because it's the body of work. But it was at least twice today when he found Marquise on a crossing route. Well, that hasn't really been a thing that's happened a whole lot. So far in practice this year, as much as Blake has been criticized and picked apart and all the other stuff we've all done, he's been pretty accurate going down the sidelines to Marquise and A-Rob, the fade or the bomb, whatever. He's had nice touch on his deep pass down the sidelines and everything toward the sidelines, but he hadn't done a whole lot toward the middle. Well, now, if you're looking for hope, if you're looking for things that make you think he can be efficient in the offense.
And we all are.
Sure. And I just say it that way because there are a faction of people who believe there is not hope with him. But if you're looking for reasons that it can turn on and things they can hold on to, if he can start utilizing, Marquise runs a really good crossing route. It's not only fast, but he has the ability to come back for the ball, to move his body and beat a defender for it. He runs that pattern very well. If that becomes a thing they can rely on, that's what the NFL is based on. The NFL passing game is about receivers and quarterbacks, with the quarterbacks knowing what they can rely on from their receiver. If there's something developing between Blake and Marquise, and this is just two plays today.
Right, right.
But it's two plays I hadn't seen last week.
You know, if you were there watching Tom Brady practice this week like we were, today's practice wouldn't even be worth mentioning.
Sure.
But we're talking about a young quarterback who remains the storyline. I won't forget, you know, his rookie season, you said it best, and that was he'll be the story until he isn't. Well, he's still the story.
Sure.
He's still evolving, and today at least
he either won't be here or we'll stop talking about it every day.
But you know what?
That's the story with
Look,
him.
Look, if it's going to be a headline on ESPN, Bortles throws five picks.
Sure.
Then it's absolutely worth mentioning Bortles throws six really great passes that mm-hmm. he's never really thrown before.
Right? Yeah,
it's worth mentioning.
And
it was a good day.
I know he had a segment later on where he didn't look as great, which, okay. You know,
the ball hit the ground a couple of times in 7-on-7,
right,
which never happened with Brady, by the way.
Sure, but yes, it's worth noting when that there are some passes that he seems to be throwing very, very well right now, which they need that. Because no matter how many emails I got after the 97-yard pass from Chad Henne, Blake's starting.
Wait, hold on.
Let's just say that right now. Yes.
People thought Chad Henne.
Oh, it's a movement. Are you kidding me?
Are people that clueless?
Do
they not understand how this game is played?
And that's only the ones who weren't saying Brandon out. So that's this is what. But
I see some virtue in Chad Henne. I'm not arguing with that.
But
don't get me wrong. But it's Bortles.
It's the old preseason is a very difficult thing because it's easy to forget just because players are in uniforms, meaning the players on the third team for New England, that they're not going to be NFL players in a month.
Just tell me you didn't get Keelan Cole is the next Allen Robinson.
Oh, of course.
Oh, my gosh.
Who? But I do think Keelan Cole is an odds-on favorite to make this team.
Well, as practice squad player?
No, I think he's got a good chance to make the roster.
He's had a couple of good weeks of training camp. Yeah. I mean, every time you look up, he is making a catch.
Yeah, I've...
But Doug Marrone today extolled the virtues of Shane Wynn.
Sure he did.
5'6" Shane Wynn. And Doug, the old adage about throwing compliments around like hubcaps.
Oh, he doesn't. No.
You know, like manhole covers. He doesn't. So when he's talking about Shane Wynn, there was genuine admiration in his voice.
And like, yes, there was.
And if you'd asked me, I wouldn't have had the same admiration. I mean, well, I think he's a nice little player.
Well, he's had a very, very good camp. He showed up, and stranger things have happened. But
I wouldn't have found a spot for him on the roster, and it sounds as if Doug is open to the possibility that Shane Wynn can earn a job.
It did sound like that today.
It sounded that way. Maybe he and Keelan Cole are vying for a last spot. It's special teams. Now, both of those guys showed up on special teams.
Yes.
I'll give Wynn credit. He always has shown up on special teams.
But, and I'm not trying to discount the Shane Wynn story. Keelan Cole has, when you follow up a bunch of practices where you have consistently shown up and shown the ability to get deep and catch the ball and play the ball in the air, which he's done all those things, and he was working with the second unit working with Chad Henne the other night. He wasn't working with Brandon Allen. And you do it again in the game, and you're working on kickoff returns, and then you're working second team punts today. Things are adding up where they're trying to figure out
the roster math.
He's making it tough to cut him, and that's what they have to do when they're undrafted rookies.
And since you bring that up, 2 years ago, we could cut the roster easy. Right?
Sure.
There weren't enough guys like Keelan Cole, like Shane Wynn, who made the job difficult.
True.
That's not a bad thing.
No. And when Doug talked about Keelan Cole today, he also mentioned Colston from New Orleans, who made the team his 7th-round pick when Doug was an assistant there. And he said they're not the same kind of player. It's a different thing. Colston was a physical guy. But that's the analogy he went to. Made the
team.
That's
a pretty good sign, yeah.
So it's in the water, if you will. There's talk about how to keep these guys. They're on the radar.
So a couple more thoughts. It was good to see Calais Campbell on the practice field today,
sure,
even though he was not full go, just to see him out there. And we'd been given the indication that it wasn't a serious issue that kept him out of practice. There's no reason to take that veteran and grind him in. Good to see Jalen Ramsey off the PUP list.
Absolutely.
Would you play him any more than a little bit against the Panthers in the third preseason game?
No.
Okay.
Because Jalen said today in the press conference talking about, you know, every rep's important, et cetera, et cetera. He's a different cat. He play him a little bit in the preseason, fine. You know, I can't imagine that guy not being ready, not playing at a high level. If he's healthy, he'll get himself ready. He's different. He doesn't need preseason to be ready.
The only reason I'd want to see him is I'd like to see that defensive unit together a little bit. Because I think it's going
to
take a while, hopefully not too long, but it's going to take a little while for that defense to start firing.
Yeah, I don't know.
On all cylinders.
You know, if it was a safety, if it was Miles Jack, I would definitely want him in there because he needs reps for communication.
But you're saying line up and go, no problem.
Well, I'm saying with a cornerback,
yeah,
it's a little easier to say line up and go. Because if he's questioning what he should do, you can tell him to cover that guy.
Bucks are in here. Jaguars over the years have practiced. You know, Tampa's come here. They've gone down there. New Orleans has come here. We've gone to Carolina, now New England. They've never done two teams in the same camp, and they've never done it in back-to-back weeks. How productive do you think that'll be?
Well, I think it'll be productive, and it's not rocket science to look at it this way, but Doug has said several times over the last 10 days what he really likes about it, and he talked about it again today, what he really likes about it is say a guy like Dante Fowler or Cam Robinson might be the best example. He's been blocking Jaguars players for a couple of days or for 10 days in training camp. Well, he went and blocked New England rushers last week. He's going to block Tampa Bay rushers this week. Different approaches, different guys. This is a guy who's never played in the NFL. So that concept of working against different players, working against different styles, working against different schemes, I'm not sure every team needs to do it. When I covered the Colts, I think they did it once. They practiced against the Titans in 2001, and that was before they were in the same division. So once they did that, they stopped that. And then Tony Dungy didn't believe in it. Wasn't his thing. A veteran team with a veteran quarterback, a bunch of guys who had been there before, maybe you don't need it as much.
Except the Patriots are going to West Virginia this week to do the same thing with the Texans before they play them.
Right. Well, it's philosophical, obviously. Obviously, yeah. Belichick really likes it.
Right.
And one reason could be that he approaches practices like they're games and then doesn't play his guys a whole lot in the game. Didn't play Brady at all. But Brady clearly, I think Brady's ready, Brian. I don't know if you know it or not. I think he could probably suit up.
Yeah.
But it's different philosophies. But again, when I was with the Colts, they never did it, didn't believe in it. Gus really didn't believe in it for 4 years. I think he did it once, Tampa Bay. So some coaches prefer just to, hey, we're going to have our routine. We're going to get our work done. We're going to stick to our schedule. That's what we need to do. Doug is of the approach that my guys can benefit from seeing what works. And I think it was Marquise Lee I was talking to in New England, and he said, you know, I've been working against Boye all training camp, and now he was pretty sincere about it. I'll come out and figure out if something's not working against these guys, then I need to go back and figure out what wasn't working against these guys and tweak it a little bit, and then I'll have the same opportunity in Tampa. So I think maybe different players approach that different ways too. Some guys take the approach of, hey, I'm going to beat this guy because I'm better than he is. Others take the approach of, I need to figure out how to combat what's being used against me in different ways.
Yeah. Final thought. Any concerns from the other night? Anything that you went, uh-oh, how are they going to fix that?
I don't think it's time to jump off the bridge with Jason Myers yet. You know, a couple 50-yard misses. You'd like him to start being more consistent. I think coach are going to want to be more consistent. I didn't see any I liked what I saw from Fournette. I liked what I saw from the special teams overall. It looks like that's going to be better. It's so hard to say, uh-oh, when the starters only play two series. Doesn't scare you yet because you haven't seen a body of work.
Say this, Bucks cut Aguayo today, so maybe that'll sharpen Jason Myers up. Maybe that'll give him a little
juice. Are you saying bring Aguayo in? Or
no,
just
no, I'm just saying, hey, heads up. Kickers okay. get cut. You know, you might want to make some field goals here.
Yeah.
He's missed a bunch in practice, too.
Yeah.
He has not been accurate in practice.
And Joe D talked about him at the end of the offseason. Pretty high praise, likes him, clearly thinks he has some leg talent. But at some point, that ball's got to go through.
We'll say today he made a bunch of long field
goals. Yes, he did.
So maybe someone whispered, hey, the Bucks just cut their leg. You might want to keep kicking. So
yeah, I think he might.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that. Senior writer John Osher, thanks so much.
All right, buddy.
Talk to you later in the week. Thanks, Joe. And thank you for listening to Senior Moments.